So for those of you who weren't here this morning, maybe Brother Pinto, if you want to come forward, and maybe you can give us kind of a brief synopsis of who you are, why you're here, and promote your material back there, et cetera. So we're glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Pastor.
Forward to your ministry.
Good morning, everyone. So my name is Chico Pinto. I am Brazilian, and we have been serving the Lord in Brazil since 2006 until 2018. As tent-making missionaries, which means that I had a job to provide for myself, my family, while we helped two missionaries there in Brazil, John and Joyce Rail with church planting, and also missionary Peter Doolittle with camp ministry. And just on 2018, God started working our hearts to leave the job behind. So we're here now since September 2019, raising support to go back as church planters. And we are at, God has already put in our hearts to go back now in November this year, probably beginning of November, and God willing, with full support, that we need to start church plant work there. So that's us in a nutshell. My wife is downstairs helping with the kids ministry, and my three kids are there, and they're probably saying, I'm glad I don't need to listen to my dad again today, you know. Well, after you hear the same preaching 20, 30 times each, either you come preach with me or you're done with it. But anyway, it was a joy to have my kids along, and they have the privilege to get to know a lot of the United States to our travels, and also to have some opportunities to serve, and like today, helping mom with a junior church. So thank you, Pastor, for inviting us. If you have more questions, you can talk to us afterwards. Like Pastor mentioned, we have some Brazilian coffee candy there, some prayer letters, a place where you can sign up to receive our newsletter so you can pray for us. And you can find all that in the back with a few little things like a Portuguese Bible, some money, Brazilian money, which somebody gave me already today, some Brazilian money. I was kind of, whoa, I don't know where to put it, but it's R$2. R$2 is a full 50 cents. But that the dollar exchange with COVID has changed quite a bit. But I'm thankful that we're able to still share the gospel there, despite in here too, despite this whole COVID thing. Here for you guys, COVID is pretty much done, gone. Don't want to hear about it anymore. And Brazil is still in full force in some areas, including our area in Cuiabá. Churches are still having services with masks, including for singing. So it's still a reality for them there. And we're praying that by the time we get to Brazil next year, we will be able already to start working more effectively without worrying about the whole COVID issues. But I'm not here to talk about COVID. I'm here to share our hearts for ministry in Brazil. I told you guys a little bit about already. And during this preaching testimony that we're going to have today, I'd like to encourage you to be on your mission trail. And I pray that God used this message not to encourage you too, but also for me to share how God worked in our hearts until we got to the point where we full surrendered for full-time mission work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you're so thankful for this time in your presence where we can share your word, where we can preach the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you don't let the language be an issue for anyone here, that your Holy Spirit can be worked in everyone's heart so they can grow closer to you and with heart to share the gospel wherever you go. In the name we pray. Amen. The title of the message is On the Mission Trail, and we're going to open our Bibles to Acts chapter 13, just three verses. I'm going to use this part of the story as an illustration of a reality of our lives and the mission trail that all of us are. Just open your Bible with me. And Acts 13 says this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they have fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they send them away. Usually when a missionary can preach about this passage, they're going to focus on, you know, and they were sent away to the mission field to do God's work. I want to emphasize a few things that are happening before that. Because there's so much, many things that are happening here that can take for illustration for our lives today. And remember that these folks were called here, Barnabas and Saul. They're doing something alongside with all the people who are with them. They're doing something before God called them. Their mission started long before they got a call to do a specific task. You see, I believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, all of us are on a mission trail, and all of us are to obey the Great Commission. The Great Commission was given to us to obey, right? And what that entails? Share the gospel everywhere we go. Teach, preach. Baptize those who accept Jesus as their Savior. And that's something that each one of us ought to be doing. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this Great Commission is for you. You see, God does not have a missionary crank machine that says, here's one missionary to Bolivia, here's one to Brazil, here's one for U.S. It doesn't work like that. The word mission comes from Latin missio, that means to send. If you look throughout the Bible, God's always sending people to accomplish His will, just like He's sending some people to accomplish a specific task right here. If you look at Abraham, God sent him out of his land into a promised land and told him that in him all families, all nations, everybody would be blessed. That means you and I today. If you start continuing to look at that, you're going to see that the offspring of Abraham became a nation. That nation got stuck in Egypt. And God sent Moses with a message to Pharaoh, let my people go. And when those people were sent to the promised land, they conquered and they messed up pretty badly, didn't they? Now one main thing, not looking for other gods other than the real, true God, not mixing with other people, just trying to be a people sanctified to God, they did mess it up pretty bad. So God sent, again, judges to help them out, to teach them, prophets to rebuke, and to announce the coming of the Messiah. And then God sent Himself in the person of Jesus Christ to redeem us all. And after Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, He got to His disciples and says, you know, as my Father has sent me, so I send you now. And you, church, you are it today. So I think sometimes and that's true for my life, we emphasize mission so much for the missionary and for finance that we forget that our own life are to be on mission, on target. Here is your mission field, right here. How did the Church of Antioch get started? Were missionaries sent there? Were people sent with a specific task to start a church there? No. People were fleeing persecution, going about their life, spreading the gospel wherever they went. And their church just sprang up because people were doing what they're supposed to do. Preach the gospel to every creature, wherever you go. So when you're talking about being on a mission trail, more than just focusing on sending a missionary, which is something that the local church have to do, amen? That's something that churches do. We need to go back and realize that we are it. I'm not a special person. There's no special missionary. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God, by faith through Jesus Christ. And the only reason I can do what I'm doing is because God called me for a specific task. But before that, God called me to serve Him and stay on this mission trail my life. And these people in this church here are example for us because once they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's important for us to always remember that you can only start on this trail after you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray each one of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior already. It's easy for me to say that, Pastor. I don't know any of you. I mean, I talked to a lot of you today, but I don't know who is saved or not. I'm assuming everybody is. But I was done assuming a long time ago. If you remember my testimony, I was saved after I was already preaching. because that's when I surrendered. I don't doubt my salvation ever. It's just that I was not saved before. And now that I'm saved, and I'm on this trail now sharing the gospel with the others because it's a joy to do that. Just like these people are here. Remember one thing. The first place, the first thing in this mission trail, as we start, is by participating and serving in your local church. This passage is a great example here. They're not saying a lot of things here, but let's look at a few things here. Have prophets. Look at verse 1. They have teachers. They have Barnabas. They have Saul. They have a lot of people, a few names that we don't know who they are. And we have in verse 2, what are they doing? They are ministering to the Lord. This is important for us to unpack a little bit here, because I have heard growing up so many people, I need to go to church and I'll go there to worship and hear the word of God. And it's awesome that you do that. But remember that you're not here just to sit and listen or sing. You're here to serve. Amen? I was thankful that Pastor is mentioning a few things that you can serve, even simple things like mowing the lawn, cleaning the temple. Imagine if you get to a church here and the temple is dirty. The lawn is so big that's reaching the window here. I mean, yeah, people are going to come here, right? Even simple things like that, they're a way to serve, because we need to remember that people are going to be faithful with they're going to come as they see what I like to call the joyful fellowship of believers, where they're going to come, experience the joy and the encouragement. And that's the first thing that you need to remember that you are. I like when church have potlucks. You know, go back where we're having Acts 2:14, 46 and 47. I know it's not the same thing, but it says this. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking the bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord add to the church daily such as would be saved. People who don't like each other have a hard time eating and swallowing when they're eating together. It's one way to show joy. You can invite people, even for a meal. And just people are going to say, hey, it's kind of a nice bunch of fellows here. Let's see what they're all about. You know, there's a pastor in Minnesota that's from a supporting church that talking to him at Camp Shabbat just a few months ago. And he said his testimony. I mean, when I see pastor, I usually think, well, they've been in the church forever, you know, grew up in church, you know, then went to Bible college, you know, and then married and started preaching. And, well, his pastor was, I mean, he was an adult, and when he started going to church, he had kids, he was married, and actually he didn't want to go to church. But when they moved from the place where they lived to Minnesota because of work, I'm not going to go into all the details, he said, you know, I need to look for a church to plug in, and where do you find good people to hang around? I said, oh, church is a good place to find people to hang around. Let's go there. But here's the deal. Just going to church, and we're in and out. Just get to know some plugging with people in town, you know? And they did that. And the people showed their love, showed their joy. And little by little, they start coming to know that there is something different here. Today he's a pastor. He's been a pastor for 7 years. It's not something that you can fake when you have the joy of the Lord. Sometimes we need the weather get in the way, though. Hey, how is it doing? I don't know. It's so cold today that my bones are freezing, you know? And all the conversation go about the weather. And, you know, show a little bit the joy. There are other things going on. Come on. You know, if anything else, say, well, things are not exactly like I want, but by the grace of God, I can be okay today. People will understand that. Now, another thing you need to remember is that not only you can serve through encouragement to show your joy, but here's a place where you can use the gifts that God gave you so people can experience in spiritual growth. They can come here and not only listen to the preaching of the Word of God, but they're going to be encouraged to grow together, to study the Bible together. And it's important that we remember that, because sometimes some of us, especially with COVID, I saw a lot of pastors complain that a lot of people are scared and stay at home. No, Hebrews said, tell us in Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that's promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, and the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. See, we need to be together, need to be serving, need to be encouraging each other in the word, in prayer, just like these people are doing here. What are they doing here? They're serving and they're praying together. They're helping each other. They're preachers that are preaching. They're prophets that are prophesying. You know, the prophesying here is proclamation. Some people sometimes mix some things there, but we can remember that they are here serving the Lord. It's here in the local church that you're going to start to serve. You wonder how a missionary gets called into the mission field. They start developing compassion for souls. And they start developing compassion for souls as you seek God in your life and as you start serving Him. They are serving here quite a while, and you might ask, I don't know what I can do. There's so much thing to do, right, Pastor? Pastor, imagine if everybody got to you tomorrow and say, Pastor, I really, really feel led to do something for her. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do, and I'll do right now. I want to start tomorrow. What can I do? I want to start today, you know? And Pastor will go crazy because that won't happen so easily. I know you guys are working and helping out, but I have never seen a church that everybody got to Pastor and say, Pastor, give me something to do. I'll go nuts because I want to use the gifts that God gave me. Have you seen a church like that yet? Man, if there's a church like that, how blessed it would be for that church to just grow in Christ because everybody's using the gifts that God gave. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. 1 Corinthians 10:40 and 2 Corinthians 4:40 have, I'm just 27, I'm just going to read one verse that says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same the Spirit. And 27, now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Each one of us have some gifts to be used for the kingdom, for the church, to spread the gospel. I don't know what yours are. I mean, there are some churches that go in deep into that, even give those spreadsheets to get your spiritual gifts. You know, I just go simple like that. Pray and let God show you. Let God show you. Second thing in this mission trail is more personal. It's when you start developing the mission trail. It's when you're personally seeking God's will for your life. We know we're fulfilling God's will in our lives. Hebrews 10:20 and 13:20 and 21 says, now the God of peace that brought us again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. These people in the church are doing exactly that here. In this passage, if you look at verse 2, they were not only ministering to the Lord, but what are they doing? There's a word there very used, and they fasted. And in verse 3, say that before anything happened, they fasted and prayed. Now, that's very personal, isn't it? I cannot fast for you. I can pray for you, but only you can talk to God for yourself. These people knew that. And when you talk about fasting, we don't have time to go into the whole Jewish fasting ceremonies and sometimes the rituals they went through, but it has nothing to do about me losing weight. Okay? That's not the objective of fasting here. Okay? You can lose weight some other ways. You can fast too. But this specific fasting is when people are coming before God in His presence, humbling themselves, taking away all the distractions that they have, including food, coming before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. cleanse me. I want to humble before you. I want to understand your will. I want to make sure that my body, my will, is not going to go against your will. Show me what to do. I know there's just not the words here in this verse, but they're truly seeking God in their life to the point where they use their own bodies, they take all the distraction from their bodies, their time, to come before God and humble themselves. When is the last time you took all the distraction of your life and came before the Lord? For 10 minutes, for 15 minutes, for half an hour, for a whole hour, a whole morning? It's just sometimes we struggle with the whole thing as trusting and obeying. Because you know how you're going to do God's will, we're going to accomplish God's will in our lives, or better yet, God can accomplish His will through our lives when you trust and when you obey. But see, you cannot trust someone you don't know, can you? You cannot trust someone that you have not put your faith on that person. You cannot trust someone that lets you down. That's not our God. This man knew that. Therefore, they're humbling themselves. I like to explain trust in the following way, because sometimes we have a concept and don't develop it in a practical approach. Think trust like this. When you came to church today, did you think twice before sitting in your chair? Did you even think about it? Raise your hand if you thought about it. Come on, I want to challenge it. You did it. Why? Because you know that this chair is going to hold your body and not going to fall on the floor and a missionary and people are going to laugh at you. Yes, I would laugh at you. Some people just fall and run away. But then I will help you. I will help you, of course. I mean, I feel bad. I feel bad even for laughing, but sometimes. But what I want to tell you guys is this. You didn't need to think about it. It's because you're doing that so many times that you don't have to. You see, trust coming in God comes to experience. I'm not telling you to trust your experiences. I'm talking to experience trusting God. You see, we got so used to that concept that, you know, we need to trust, we need to have faith, that we forget that it takes time and takes going through experience in our life to learn that. Every time some things go bad in your life, what do? You can complain, you can whine, you can scream out, but people are thinking, God, help me here. I know that you're in control. I can guide you through this. Or you can say, God, I don't know what to do here, but I trust that you're doing best for me. Even though I'm sick, this is it. Can you take me into bad and into my death? But I trust you with myself. It's interesting for us to remember that sometimes we forget what trust is all about and just talk about it. In my life, I have experienced so many ways trusting God. And just want to share a few things with you, because this man here, the reason they can surrender, the reason they can come before the Lord is because they personally trust the Lord and His way. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We need to remember that to trust, you need to remember the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus Christ told us that you cannot do anything of ourselves. We just read John 6 today, 15 today, verse 5 says, you know, every fruit that you bear is because of me. You need to be plugged in me. We need to trust that. It's interesting that as we read those verses, those are my life verses, I struggle with the first word, trust. And I have learned to trust God. I remember when I was 21 years old working in a public school in Brazil. I had not given tithes for so many months that I was ashamed. And I just put a little sign. I said, I'm going to give my 2 months of tithes. Now I did all my budgets and I'm going to not have $60. That means a whole week without having food. I would just trust God and do it. That was my first time that I ever remember trusting God. And just said, God, you put this in my heart. I want to make it right. I want to trust with everything you have given. Just provide a way for me to get through this. last week of the month, just a day before, I work in the school in the morning and afternoon. In Brazil, the school system work a little different. In the morning, you have like first to fourth grade. In the afternoon, fifth to eighth grade. And the school hours is from 7 to 11, 1 to 5. It's a little different. But a lady who worked in both shifts, she was starting a business, said, you know, I'm starting making meals here to sell. I'd like to be one of my customers. Tell you this, you can eat this whole month here, this whole week for free. And after that, you can pay monthly to me. And you don't need to go out for lunch or bring lunch for you here at school. So between the time you have between classes, you can just stay here and enjoy your meal. And I look at heaven and say, thank you, God. Lunch is provided. At night, God provided a way for me to have $1 every day to have hot dog and pop. That was my dinner. I didn't go hungry. You just start building on top of those little things. In 2002, when God called us to go to ministry in Brazil, you know, the whole excuse a lot of people have, oh, I should have now, you know, go to a Bible college because nobody's going to respect what I do. And I thought, you know, I have training, I was preaching. God can use us there, whichever way we are, and He's going to empower. So I finished college here. Took another 2 years for us, trusting with the time for us to go back to Brazil after the first call to go then make missionaries. So I was working as a software engineer already at a company, and I had a big task ahead of me. It was a two-year lineup work for big projects. So I told my boss, he gave me the big responsibility. In 6 months, I'll go to Brazil. Please hire someone for me to train. Just don't fire me, please. And he didn't fire. He hired someone. I trained 2 months before going to Brazil. He come to me and say, so Chico, what you're going to be doing in Brazil? So, well, he was not Christian, and I'm not much into explaining a lot of things. I said, I'm going to go there, be around my family, and serve in the church. You know, that's our plan. What are you going to do for work? I don't know. I'll see what God does when I get there. And 1 week later, he comes to me. How about if we agree for, make a contract for 6 months for you to work from Brazil for us? You can help the guy we just trained. I'll give you 2 interns for you to manage from there to do a few other things, and you can help with that, and you go from there. I said, well, that would be awesome. So God provided work for me to go back. Didn't need to worry. When I got to Brazil, didn't need to worry about a job. He had provided already. And that job, 6 month job, turned to be 2.5 years work. After that, I can see God work time after time after time. But I only could see it because one thing, taking time to pray and seeking God's will. I could do whatever I want. God has given me knowledge and a skill set to do things that even I say, well, I didn't know how I could do that. Not because I'm smart, because nothing. It just comes with training. Everybody else can be training to do things that we like to do. You know, I just happen to like mess around computers. So it's good. It's easy. I don't mind working around big problems and solve them. But that same mindset was there. How do I solve this next problem now? I need more time for ministry and I don't have it. What are we going to do? So as we start trusting the Lord, we came here to U.S. in 2018 for just a fun trip God had provided. I've been out of the West for 10 years now. We came here a few times after I moved to Brazil, but 2008 was the last time we came here. And we came just for fun. Well, in Brazil, if we're working there, have a month of vacation, okay? And the month of paid vacation. I love that. And God had provided resources for us to come, so we came. We drove, you know, to New York, to Washington, came into Minnesota where I had family. And now that traveling around, the one question found in my heart was, so Chico, what did you go to Brazil for? And that was the same question that my co-workers asked me. They would call me and say, Chico, I don't understand you. You had a green card. You live in the U.S. You had a good job there. You came here to Cuiabá. Cuiabá is hot. When it gets cold in Cuiabá, it's like 60, 55. That's cold for us. You know, and what are you doing here? It's hot in here. And I would tell them, just come here to live and help in the church here. That's what you're doing. We didn't need to be bragged to be where I tend to make missionaries. That makes sense to them. I didn't even tell my family. I just told the missionaries I was working with. They knew what they were doing. That's it. But at the same time, God was pressing us on to say, hey, I know your job's taking time away from ministry. What you're going to do about it? And we prayed. Once time about seeking God's will for your life, about trusting God, about trusting the Holy Spirit. There's one thing that we forget, that's surrender. Surrender does not come easy, does it? Surrender comes really hard when you say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nonetheless, I live, but not yet, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a beautiful verse. Can you surrender to that level? I'm not saying that you need to go to the mission field to surrender to that level. I'm saying, can you surrender when you know what God's will is for your life? Surrender yourself to him. We talk about trust. You cannot surrender to someone you don't trust. So do you trust God? That was my question there. Can I trust God that he's going to take care of my family financially? You see, that was my whole struggle. In 2014, the Doolittles, they saw we were struggling with time already because we started, you know, progressing our career and time started getting a little pressing time, and he knew I was trying to fix things from camp from 9 p.m. to midnight in 2 nights a week, or trying to go there 2 times we could. And I was complaining about time for ministry that we want to have more and didn't. And I was praying. Be very careful how you pray. For instance, if you pray for patience, what do you think you're going to get? More trouble, right? That's training, right? You're praying for patience, so you're going to get it. You get it by developing it. You develop it by going through struggles. So you can get your patient there. So I was praying for more time for ministry. For years. And in my mind, it was another job. Because my dad had put in my heart that I have to support my family. When I told him we're dating the missionary daughter, I said, son, that girl does not know what suffering is. She's an American. God is here, right? You know what it is with God without food or without a lot of food for, you know, a few weeks. She doesn't need to go through that. Make sure you support her well. That was my dad's charge when I told him I was going to take Sherry. Well, I took that to heart. And 2014, when some missionaries started talking to me, saying, why don't you just quit your job and raise support? I told one of the missionaries, said, I think it's lack of faith because I have a hard time letting go and let God support my family. True. Just like that. I had to come to say, if I'm going to be brutally honest, this is the issue, is lack of faith, which means lack of trust in God for some things. But I was not ready at that point, and God knew when things were ready for us. And it came. 2019, 2018, we went back to Brazil after that trip. I told Sherry what God was pressing my heart, just let everything go and just surrender whole life for me. So she started crying because in her own life she was praying for that. I was going 3 or 4 weeks out of the month doing just work. For you guys, like from traveling from here to New York, for me, from Cuiabá to São Paulo, and just spending the week there and coming back for ministry, we're just struggling. And there's some few families we had the opportunity, door open to go. Their kids were coming to our church, and we didn't have time. And one of these guys, this family, one of these families, the father went to fix the roof, fell down, broke his neck, and passed away. And that was weighing heavily on her because it was one of the family we want to reach. And her heart would just, if he just had more time. So surrendered, and we did like this man. We're going to pray. We prayed for 3 months, and God confirmed in our hearts. We didn't want to do anything out of emotion. We wanted to surrender to the Lord according to his will. And he gave us peace. The peace that I have never imagined I could have about finances. I just let it go. And after that, we just start burning bridges. You know, when God calls, he will empower, right? This man didn't question when they got their call, did they? Because that's the very thing on the mission trail, is when you got called to serve. The question for you is, what is going to be your answer? Imagine here, I don't know how it happened there. I know that the Bible says that, you know, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. I don't know if God spoke to the prophets through proclamation. I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost talking in a loud voice. But I like to imagine this, you know, a big voice that says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have given them." Man, you have a voice like that talking to you. Yep. What are you going to do now? I hope you're not like Jonah. It's not a fun thing to be 3 days in the belly of the fish because you just decide, I'm not going to do it. I don't like it. It's going to be hard. And I hate doing that because that people don't deserve. Well, it was not hard on him, was it? I can tell you this much, the best place for you to be at the center of God's will. If God called you, he'll enable you to do so. If God is trusting you to be a pastor, a wise pastor, a teacher, somebody who can help a church and with being a deacon, or simply sharing the gospel through pamphlets, to tracts, doesn't matter what, but if God called you to do so, do it. Obey. But for you to understand and have the call, you need to be seeking Him, seeing His will in your life. You have to be serving Him already. It's important for us to understand that God will call you to serve and He will enable you to do so. I have many verses here that I'm not going to read at this point to make things short. But I just want to finish with this illustration for my life and the missionary that went to Brazil. One thing that I was really worried, concerned was finances. God gave me peace once we accepted His call, once you surrendered to a full-time ministry. Next week, got a call from my boss. That was, we surrendered end of March, beginning of April. He said, you know that promotion that I was trying to get to you for several years now? It's here. I'd like to move to São Paulo and get this position. I said, no, thank you. And he talked to me again. Don't you want to reconsider? Because, you know, I said, well, that was before. I really wanted that position before God was working my heart to be a missionary. Now that I have committed to that, I just know that's not going to be in sync with what God has for me. And he knew what a missionary was, and he talked about his family. There was somebody who was a missionary. He was not Christian, but he knew what it was. And it was interesting because next day, I was out of job because I didn't take my promotion. But that's how God provided for us to have a full year of support for deportation. Because according to the Brazilian law, they have to pay all the things that they need to pay for me at my level of work, and that's how God provided. So I started deportation about worrying about money, and I was not worried about it anymore. I have never been worried about money because God has always provided. I know He will provide. He took care of so many missionaries in Brazil. I'm just another one. Who am I to say if I go through a little hunger here and there, it's not okay? It's okay. You teach me something. But I can tell you this much. God has abounded so much that we're ready to go to the field almost with 100% support. I told the pastor yesterday we're at 99% support to COVID and all. It's amazing to me what God enabled, what He does. And I have, even through COVID, we have all meetings canceled, $700 in the bank account. And Sherry said, you know, so what are you going to do now? I said, honey, I'm not going to worry. God brought us here. He's going to get us through. Sure enough, God provided every single thing we needed. Even though we didn't have meetings, we didn't have love offerings from meetings, but church is starting, stepping up and saying, we're going to help you guys out. We didn't even say a word. Just God at work. I told her, if you're going to trust God, you're going to trust God. And He came through. One more thing, now I can just sit in the chair again and say, God, guide us through. I don't know what's going to happen. Might be a little hard. It'll be rocky, but we trust that we're going to do what you're going to do. Another thing that really got to me, and that's why I asked the pastor to read the passages, how many churches am I going to start? How many people are going to accept Christ? I'm not concerned about that either. I said, what? I'm not concerned. John 15:5, I'm divine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. I'm trusting that God is going to give us strength, is going to empower us to do the task that's ahead. Although you might not think I am an introverted person, you might not look like, But when again, I'm in a gathering, after 2 or 3 or 4 hours, and not around 200 people, I need 5 minutes in my corner. Just to thank you, Lord, for the strength. I just need to breathe a little bit here. And then I come back. Because I know He's the one that enables us to do what He put in our hearts to do. So as you pray for us, as we pray for Ministry in Brazil, don't forget to pray for your own mission trail. You can be helping the Great Commission with support. Maybe you cannot go, maybe you didn't have the special call, but maybe you've been called to serve with your resources, with your time, maybe in your local church, in your mission field right here. And I pray that you dwell well in this mission trail that God has put in front of every follower, and that we can share His light and His word with the whole world.